It has become kind of regular, traditional for me to use the Sunday before Christmas to key off of a Christmas carol or a Christmas story. And so today is no different, and we're going to talk about being more like Rudolph. And this was something that Chris and I talked about. And I love the idea, so I'm going to share it with you. We all know the story. A lot of us have been watching the same Christmas special since it started. Rudolph is Donner's boy. Rudolph is born with this red glowing nose that sets him apart. From day one, he is different. And at first, like all of us, he's good with that. He's innocent. He's oblivious to the fact that his nose makes him any different than anybody else. And then, like we tend to do, he learns to be embarrassed. He is taught to be ashamed of the fact that he is unique. Believe it or not, he's actually taught partially by Santa. Santa makes fun of him. Donner is embarrassed by his own child and hides the nose. When it's revealed to the community, the other reindeer insult him. As the story progresses, though, Rudolph learns to embrace his difference. He changes how other people view him. He makes a difference in the world. He lets his light shine. He makes a historic run with Santa. And he saves Christmas. I'm going to go ahead and give it to you now. I want you to get it. I want you to watch it develop as we talk through the Bible. And then we're going to come back and reinforce it. But here's the point. Rudolph does not change how others see him. Rudolph does not make history. Rudolph does not reach his potential until he embraces the fact that he is different. Not until he gets to the point that it's okay. Not until he gets it that okay is different, is he able to change the world. He always knew. But it's when he finally lets his light shine, regardless what other people were saying, that he makes history. And I'm about to establish that it is exactly the same principle with Christianity. Matthew 5, verses 1 through 16. I want to point out a couple of very important things about the Sermon on the Mount that maybe you hadn't thought about. The first is this. I want you to watch what precedes a couple of the verses that we often reference. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16 are well known to us. And we quote them in reference to this idea of us being different. And we'll talk about the being different part for a little bit, and then I'm going to go back and make that other point. You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? That point is good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do men light a lamp and put it under the peck measure, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. We know that. We preach that. We talk about that. We emphasize it, that we've got to go out into the world and let our light shine. Now then, what I want you to notice is, before we get to that point, we often fail to consider that those verses are part of a larger context. And it's a context that goes back to verse 1 and says, when he saw the multitude, he went up on the mountain. After he sat down, the disciples came to him. And opening his mouth, he began to teach them. So we have record of the first time Jesus spoke publicly to a multitude. And notice what he says prior to verses 13 through 16. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely or on account of me. Rejoice, be glad, your reward is in heaven. And it's great, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before them. You are the salt. Do you notice that he never changes subjects? Do you notice there's no paragraph break there? Before Jesus gets to the point that we are salt and light, he establishes that to be salt and light, we are different. That we stand out. And he establishes everything that he is going to preach for the rest of his career and for the rest of the book on the fact that we're different. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the merciful. Those are not things that they're hearing in synagogue school. Those are not things that they're hearing around the temple. In fact, that's the second thing I want you to add to this thought about the sermon. The very first time Jesus speaks publicly, he establishes, he reinforces, and then he reinforces again, we are different. That everything about his gospel is different. Our ability, our responsibility, our privilege of letting our light shine is based on the fact that we're different. Because you see, if we were not, there wouldn't be anything to shine. There wouldn't be anything to stand out. There wouldn't be anything to attract others. We are unique in all of the world. We talked about just recently the fact that we're children of God. So we have a relationship with God that nobody else in the world outside of Christ has. And we can add so many other attributes to that. We are peculiar, Peter says. We stand out. I want to use an example of Peter. And then we're going to go and make some application about the early church and about us today. Peter meets Jesus for the first time. You know, we have a couple of different encounters where he calls him a couple of different times to follow him. We have the encounter with the fish, and we have Peter recognizing that he's a sinful man. But basically it goes like this. Peter meets Jesus, begins to follow him. Jesus extends the invitation and Peter accepts it. And for the first 3 years plus, it's Peter and Jesus and the other 11 disciples. And they're kind of a unit. They hang out together. And even when they're interacting in the crowds, they're doing it as a unit. When they're going to visit friends, Mary and Martha and Lazarus, we see them kind of moving in a pact. And so for that reason, Peter starts out, he's kind of good with it. All right, he's kind of rolling along with it, and he's fine because he's surrounded by people that are like him, and he really hasn't caught on yet that he's becoming different than the rest of the world. But there we have Matthew 5, 6, and 7. We have the other times that Jesus pulls them aside with just the 12 and talks. And they're being taught to be different. Problem is, it really hadn't been put to the test yet. It's been within the 12. It's been within the crowd of Jesus and maybe those ladies that are following and others that think like them. And then all of a sudden, and you can go ahead and turn over to the book of John, chapter 18. The earthly ministry comes to an end. And it's time for Jesus to be able to say, it's finished. I've accomplished everything you sent me to accomplish. And so it's the night of his arrest. And all of a sudden, Peter is exposed to those who do not think like his group. All of a sudden, Peter is asked to put his light out there. And he's really not sure at first how to handle it. John chapter 18, verse 15. Now remember, he's already abandoned Jesus in the garden. And then he's kind of come slinking back at the back of the pack. So John chapter 18, verse 15. Simon Peter was following Jesus. So was another disciple. That disciple was known to the high priest, and he entered in with Jesus into the court of the high priest. Peter was standing at the door outside. The other disciple who was known to the high priest went out and spoke to the doorkeeper and brought Peter in. And now then the encounter. The slave girl, therefore, who kept the door, said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" And Peter's like, No, not me. No, I'm not any different than you are. I am not." Now the slaves and officers were standing there having made a charcoal fire. It was cold. They were warming themselves, and Peter was with them, standing and warming himself. Verse 25, Simon Peter was standing and warming himself, and they said to him, "You're not also one of his disciples, are you?" And he denied it again and said, "I am not." One of the slaves of the high priest, being a relative of the one whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden?" He denied it again, and immediately a cock crowed. And we find out in one of the other accounts that his dialect gives him away. But he's exposed. "We know you. You're different than us." He sticks out. And all of a sudden, he's embarrassed by it. All of a sudden, he's afraid that if he identifies with Jesus, that he may end up in the same position that Jesus is in. And so he denies Jesus, and he denies him again, and he denies him a third. He has learned to be embarrassed by the fact that he's unique. Peter really does not begin to stick his neck out until Pentecost. And really, even after that, he does not really begin to embrace the fact that he's different until Acts 3 and 4. They get past Pentecost, the church begins to grow a little bit, and then Peter begins to expand himself. Watch Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. It says, "As they observed the confidence of Peter and John," they understood that they were different, that they were uneducated and untrained, and they marveled, and they began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. And so their lights are beginning to shine. They're beginning to stand out because they've been close enough to Jesus that the glow is coming through them. So keep going, verse 19 and 20. Notice the difference in Acts 4, 19 and 20, and John chapter 18. "Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than God, you be the judge. We cannot stop speaking what we have seen and heard.' Peter said, I've stuck my neck out there and it's going to stay. My light is on for the world to see, and you can do what you want to do. You can say what you want to say. You can make the decisions you want to make. I'm not changing who I am now. I'm unique. I'm different. And I'm good with that. Look down to verse 29. I love this. This adds to that story. Lord, take note of their threats and grant that thy bondservant may speak thy word with all confidence. Keep us out there. Make sure we don't turn out our lights. Make sure we don't hide them under the bushel basket. Make sure we don't put a rubber nose over our red glowing nose so that we no longer stand out. It's at that point, if you watch the book of Acts, that Peter begins changing the world. The church begins to grow exponentially. It explodes around the world because they finally start letting their light shine. Supply it to us. We are different from the minute we obey the gospel. The plan of salvation we obey is different than what 99% of the world teaches. We're automatically different. Our worship is different. The organization of the body of Christ is different. But here's the thing. I come out of the water of baptism as this babe, as this new creature. And a lot of times, because of our joy of obeying the gospel, because of the excitement of the forgiveness of our sins, we're oblivious to the fact that we're different. We really don't think about the fact that the church of Christ is different than everybody else, and that Christians are different than everybody else. And so we run out and we tell the world, I obeyed the gospel. I was baptized into Christ Sunday. I've seen it happen now. I'm not making this up. We go tell our friends. We go tell our family members. And you get that look. What do you mean you were baptized? Or you actually get that snide comment, you joined the Church of Christ? Or even that open mockery. And all of a sudden, we've gone from being blissfully ignorant that we're different to standing out and not being so sure that we're comfortable with it. And sometimes we get embarrassed. Sometimes we try to blend in. We put the black rubber nose over our light. Maybe we even try to deny that, oh, we're not so different than you. Here's the thing. We've been called to be different. We've been called to stand out. We've been called to preach and teach something entirely different than the world. We've been called to be lights, and the only way to be a light in the darkness is to be different than the darkness. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I want you to read a couple of verses with me. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. All right, I'm going to beg you. I urge you. I'm going to plead with you. Be different. Do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? So that you can prove what the will of God is. That which is good and acceptable and perfect. Paul said, I am begging you, stand out. so that others can see it and you can prove to them what Christianity is. So you can prove to them what the church is. 1 Peter 1, 13 through 16. You can probably tell me what a couple of those verses say. You be holy because I'm holy. But did you know that verse 13 says, gird your minds for action, keep sober in your spirit, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in ignorance. Now then, he says, hey, by the way, be holy. Because I'm holy. Be a light. Be different. Chapter 2 and verse 9. We're a peculiar people. We're a nation of priests. God's holy nation. 2 Peter 3 and verse 11. Oh, by the way, yes, God is going to come back. He is going to send His Son. Because that's true, what kind of behavior ought you ought to have? Holy and blameless and upright and pure. We are different. And the world is going to notice if we're different. Now, we know all of that. We've talked about that 10,000 times. And it's important. And I think we have to reinforce it and reinforce it and reinforce it. Here's where I am this morning, though. It's okay. It is okay to be different. It is a good thing. Our world is broken. Our religious world is broken. Why would I want to fit in? Why would I want to look the same? Why would I want to hide who I am? It is time to embrace the fact that we're unique. That we teach a unique gospel. That we obey a unique gospel. That we have unique organization. I want you to watch this. Acts chapter 2, verse 43. You know, you got 3,000 that have been baptized on the day of Pentecost. And they're together day in and day out. And they're taking care of each other. And it says everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. Many wonders and signs are taking place through the apostles. All of those who that believed together had all things in common. Verse 45, they're selling their possessions, they're sharing. Verse 46, they're continuing in the temple and house to house. Verse 47, having favor with all the people. They were different. They didn't hide it. The world saw it. And they liked it. They had favor with all the people. Chapter 8 and verse 4. This is when Paul is breathing threats and he's running all over the church and stomping them in the ground. And it says, therefore, those who had been scattered about went about preaching the word. Chapter 16 and verse 20. These men are throwing our city into confusion. Chapter 17 and verse 6. These are the men that have turned the world upside down, or they've upset the world. The world noticed. And the disciples didn't back down. They didn't put out their light. They didn't try to blend in. So here is the point again. It's not about the fact that we're different, because you already know that. Here's the point this morning that you have to get and you have to take home. And the elders and I talked about it this morning. It's going to be something that we emphasize over and over and over in 2020. We cannot make a difference in this world until we embrace who we are. We cannot change the people around us until we embrace the fact that we are different. Until we accept who we are and live up to it. Why? I said it earlier. If we blend in, we have absolutely nothing to offer the world. If Rudolph keeps the black rubber nose on and covers up his red beak, what's he accomplished? Does he change history? Can he fight his way through the fog? No. If he could have, Santa had a whole herd of reindeer that could have done it. If I blend in, if I embrace the world standard rather than God's, what can I accomplish? So number one, I have to accept who I am. We are Christians. We are children of the King. We are holy. We are different. Number two, I have to accept my purpose. I have to accept the purpose that I was designed to be different. I was put here to stand out. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. I'm supposed to be the aroma of Christ. I'm supposed to smell like Jesus so that I can attract other people to Him. And the only way I can do that is to be different. Embrace my difference. And number three, I have to accept that I live to a different standard. I'm not here to fit in. I don't have to fit in. I don't have to worry about fitting in. I don't have to be ashamed of who I am. And neither do you. I don't know about you, but based on the idea of Rudolph this morning, I want to glow. I want to shine. I want to stand. I want to be a light. And I want to be different. And I want to look like Christ. I want, starting today, to change the world by being who I am in Christ. Being who I am supposed to be in Christ. If you'd like to do that, it starts at Calvary. It's where we become different. It's how we obey the gospel, and it changes us from the inside out. And if you've never put on Christ in baptism for the forgiveness of your sins, well, you look just like the rest of the world. There's no difference. Come stand out. Come be different. And as a Christian this morning, don't hide it. Let it glow. Let it glow everywhere you go. And sooner or later, what you'll find is that you've changed the course of this world. You've made a place for yourself in God's history. And the world will notice. And what was it at the end of the song about Rudolph? They went from making fun of him to saying, hey, you're the one going down in history. The world's going to notice, and the world will be attracted to you and to Christ. So we stand and sing.